temperance or self-control. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, in the King James Version, it reads, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." And in the Good News Translation, it reads, "For the spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, his spirit fills us with power, love, and self-control." So self-control or temperance is a spiritual fruit, and it's the last of the nine spiritual fruits listed in the King James Version and other translations, modern translations. There are three more that are listed in the older translations, and we're going to address them over the next 3 weeks. But these nine are most commonly in the newer translations from the King James, and then the newer ones of the recent, more recent ones than that. And it's really, this is where all the fruits of the Spirit kind of are leading us to, this point of self-governing, this point of being able to govern ourselves under the lordship of Christ. And that's really what that lordship of Christ is all about. It's not God just pushing buttons in your life to make you do whatever he dictates from moment to moment and relinquishing all of your self-control, but actually quite the opposite. God wants you to run your own life, and he wants us together to run our lives according to his plan, according to his will, according to his law. His perfect law of love and his perfect will of love and harmony and peace. So God is not trying to take away anything from you, but to give you everything. The only thing that he wants to take away is that bent that we have towards sin and that propensity that we have for selfishness and for harming others and for making mistakes and for doing things that get us and other people in all kinds of difficulties and painful situations. God wants to take all that away and give us instead happiness and joy and peace and clarity in our sense of direction, freedom to make decisions and to exercise them by ourselves or in agreement with other people, in union with each other. And so that self-government is what God is calling us to. In the Old Testament, they're under the period of the judges, they had God was all in charge, but they didn't really have that governmental structure like other nations had. They had the prophets and the judges and people that would help people understand what God was calling people and expecting them to do. They had the law of God, and then people were expected to go by that, and the judges were like facilitators of the law. And so when people had had difficulty knowing what to do, the judges would help out, and they would pray, and God would help guide the country that way. But people were free, and they didn't have a monarchy like what they began to have under King Saul. That happened while their last judge, Samuel, was a prophet, and he was the last one that while he was the judge, then that people came and asked him for that they could have a monarchy like the other countries around them. And so Samuel was all upset about this, and he went to the Lord in prayer, and God said, "Don't worry about it, it's not because anything, it's not on you, it's not nothing that you've done, but these people are rejecting me as their king. They want to have somebody rule their lives." And so he said, "They're not going to listen to you, but I want you to go call them anyway and remind them that if they have this kind of a government structure that they're talking about, then the person who is the monarch will be the one who orders them around and who owns them and who governs everything about their lives. That's who they'll work for. Their trades, they will work in order to support that leader. Whatever that leader wants, that's what they have to do. You remind them of that. They won't listen to you, but you tell them anyway. And so Samuel did, and sure enough, they didn't listen, and they demanded they could have a monarchy like the other countries around them. But God didn't want that. God wanted to be, as it's described in the Revelation, and the restoration of all things, in the city of New Jerusalem, when it came down and said, and the tabernacle of God is with people, and he shall be their God, they shall be his people. And God himself shall wipe away every tear from their eye. There shall be no more crying, no more pain, no more suffering, no more death, nothing like that. All this belongs to the past. A whole new day dawning in the city of New Jerusalem, in the kingdom of God, in paradise. A whole new day in paradise. God wants, like what we sang in our song a while ago, joy to the world. He wants us to have joy and peace. And he rules the world with truth and grace. That's not the same as what the kingdoms of this world rule the world with, is it? In fact, quite the opposite in a lot of cases. But that's what God wants to do. And if we have that kind of environment and structure, then that's where we have the freedom then to govern ourselves and for our society to govern itself, for groups of people like our church or like families or our friends forming an organization or an association of any kind are able to govern themselves and make their own decisions. We have the principles, we have the laws, we have the regulations of the Spirit guiding us, instructing us, helping us know what's good and what's not. And with that, we make our choices. That's kind of like the founding ideas of democracy, isn't it? The whole idea of democracy is that we all have our different ideas, but we come together in agreement and we try to educate and inform each other and encourage each other. And together we come to decisions. And we exercise those decisions. As one noted politician, Abraham Lincoln, once lifted up, government of the people, by the people, and for the people. In order for anything like that to work, it begins in the hearts of the participants. Jesus Christ, the King and Lord of our personal lives. Because if you are not going to be responsible for your own decisions, and you're not going to take responsibility to learn how to make the right decisions and then exercise and carry those out, then the whole of your participation in society is going to be all messed up too. Amen. I mean, you're not going to be able to have this self-government for yourself, and you're not going to be able to participate in a self-governing society if you're not having that for yourself. And so that's really where it all begins. It's practical for our health, for our physical and our emotional and our spiritual health, that we govern ourselves according to the love of Christ, according to what is right. And so prayerfully, we move forward in this self-control, temperance, fruit of the Spirit. Temperance, as a word, temperance, in the United States, especially during like around the Prohibition and everything, kind of focused in on a narrow part of self-control, of just substance abuse, mostly alcohol during that time, and focused in on just that narrow slice because of how sometimes abuse of substances can take away our self-control. But it has a real broad actual meaning, the words that are translated into temperance in the New Testament, and that's why more often now it's translated as self-control. The virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially sensual appetites, is how Strong defines it. Vine notes that the root of that Greek word is strength. And so self-control is the preferable rendering, as temperance is now limited to one form of self-control. The various powers bestowed by God upon man are capable of abuse. The right use demands the controlling power of the will under the operation of the Spirit of God. So biblical temperance means governing ourselves. And it's also translated self-control, and it's similar to moderation. Paul wrote, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." And there's a proverb that says, as it's put in the Message, moderation is better than muscle, self-control better than political power. And there's another little proverb that is, I don't know where it really came from. It's attributed to several different people across the centuries, but about moderation in all things. Paul wrote to the Galatians, as expressed in the Message version of the Scripture. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart. The conviction that basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way of life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. As with the other spiritual gifts, here's how St. Ephrem of Syria put it. Virtues are formed by prayer. Prayer preserves temperance. Prayer suppresses anger. Prayer prevents emotions of pride and envy. Prayer draws into the soul of the Holy Spirit and raises man to heaven. Paul wrote to Titus telling him to encourage and teach other people. And he had a whole bunch of different things that he was trying to encourage, have Titus share with other people. He said, it teaches us to say no. The salvation of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. And he goes on, and that's while we're looking for the coming of Christ, while we're looking for the blessed hope, the appearing of Christ who gave himself for us. And he admonishes us, and especially those of us who say these things and who preach them. This is one of those places where I feel the steps on my toes. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run they may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest, after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Paul wrote that all things are helpful lawful for me, but not all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but I will not be enslaved by anything. There's an old magazine from the 1800s that has articles about temperance. It's called the Methodist Temperance Magazine. And it has this interesting statement. We are bound by the law of love to limit our own liberty in order that our example may not injure others to whom these things are or may come to be a fatal cause of temptation. The true Christian temperance motto is, though love, through love, be servants one to another. So that's what Christ calls us to in calling us to this gift and this fruit of the Spirit. If we have the Spirit and we're following the Spirit, then more and more we're gaining control over our own lives under the guidance of God's Spirit and not having to turn that over to other people or to just even the whims and fancies of whatever comes to mind or just fight or anything else, but self-governing, self-control for our own lives. We get to be in charge. And the more we follow the Holy Spirit and learn the law of love and practice this in our life, then the more free we are to govern ourselves. I'd like to close with this hymn written by Catherine Bates, the other Kathy Bates, not the, this was back in a long time ago. You might find it familiar, but not as part of a sermon. So hear it in the context of this fruit of the Spirit of self-control. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife who more than self their country loved and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness, and every gain divine. O beautiful, for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. In the name of Jesus.